T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Ignition. Liftoff.
From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
Another week of disc golf is in the history books, and to get you all caught up, I'm Steve Kaczynski with this edition of PDGA Radio, this for the week of May 5th, 2008. Coming up on this episode, I have full results from this season's third national tour stop, as most of the top pros were in Santa Cruz, California for the Masters Cup. Also, results from other tournaments across the disc golf world, and a special feature this week focusing on disc golf course design, including some basic steps in getting a course installed in your hometown, and how to help keep it there if and when problems may arise. Stay tuned for that and much more after this message from one of our fine sponsors. Sometimes it's difficult to believe that 25 years have passed since Innova's Dave Dunapace created the world's first true golf disc. Those triangular rim discs were faster and more accurate, immediately commanding the attention of all who played. Tournament players instantly recognized that Innova discs provide an undeniable competitive advantage, and our discs have since been used to win more major titles than all other brands combined. Our love for the game remains strong. Innova Champion, celebrating 25 years as the industry leader in disc golf. No better way to lead off the results portion of this week's program than with the results from the most recent PDGA National Tour event held this past weekend at the De La Viega Disc Golf Course in Santa Cruz, California. There it was, the Steady Ed Memorial Masters Cup, and they needed a playoff to determine the men's winner, but it only took one hole as home stater Steve Rico dropped in a 50-footer on the first playoff hole to secure the victory over Avery Jenkins. Rico earns the trophy in the first place check worth more than $1,600. Jenkins in second, David Feldberg was one throw behind, and rounding out the top five were the reigning world champion Nate Doss and the many-time world champion Ken Climo. On the women's side, it was their reigning world champion Valerie Jenkins taking the victory, also her third straight national tour event victory. This time it was by two throws over another of the top pros and Santa Cruz local Carrie Berlegar. Jeff Lissaman won the Masters division by 6 over Jim Oates. J. Michael Berry took the Grandmasters division by 15 over Snapper Pearson. And Phil Ganchert won the Senior Grandmasters division. Also, as part of the tournament festivities, the Ed Hedrick Award Trophy was awarded. Past recipients include Ken Climo, Des Redding, and Tom Schott. This year it was NorCal's Marty Hapner picking up that prestigious award. And looking at other results from across the disc golf world, we see Barry Schultz. He was saving his frequent flyer miles, staying a little closer to home, playing an 8 here in St. Louis, where he would enter the final 9-hole round tied with locals Justin Bunnell and Nico LoCastro, only to beat them by 3 throws over those 9 holes en route to the victory. For the amateurs, they had an 8 here in Florida with the Red Hawk Amateur Championships. It saw Tampa's Lenny Gomez tearing it up, eventually winning by 12 over Dave Young. Other results show Jeff Bennett winning easily in Michigan. Brad Schick won twice in Ohio, the Lobdell Open Saturday. Then he beats out Scott Burnett at the Turtle Creek Open Sunday. Will Shusterick wins in Georgia. Cody Taylor gets a win in Tennessee. Kyle Pinkman comes across the border from South Dakota to pick up a win in Minnesota over Timmy Gill. Ron Converse Jr. wins at the International Disc Golf Center's May monthly event. John Anderson wins the Region 7 Championships in South Dakota. And John McDonald wins in Washington. Full results on those tournaments and the rest of them on the PDGA tournament schedule at PDGA.com.
Hey yo, Brian Sullivan here, ready to feed your head with more fun facts. So why is consistent plastic important? Well, let's say you buy a first run driver and you love it and then you lose it, but you go to replace it and it just doesn't fly the same. Well, that is because, newsflash here, the manufacturer bought their plastic from the lowest bidder. Now, it's different plastic in your favorite disc. Well, avoid that headache. Throw Discraft. They always buy the same primo plastics from the same vendors. Consistency matters. Throw Discraft.
PDGA Radio continues as we are being joined for this week's 60-second clinic by disc golfer, course designer, and disc golf activist Bill Ashton. He's PDGA number 2747. Bill starts things off this week by quickly describing the process you should take if you're interested in proposing a course for your hometown.
Contact a local park director, ask them if they've ever considered disc golf, and then if they've never heard about it, explain it. But nowadays, the sport has grown into such, recognition that most park departments know about it now. So typically, with contacting your local park department and speaking to the park director, if they show an interest, then what happens is maybe they'll get the maintenance person involved and some other, maybe the recreation supervisor, and then we'll meet down at the park, and then we'll do like a walkthrough on like maybe just kind of a rough draft of something that like I put together as far as design. And then and if they like that, then what happens is it would have to go to a park board meeting, and then that would need to get approval, and then the park board, once it's approved through the park board, then it would go to the city council, and the city council would vote on it as well to help, you know, get the thing funded. So that's what it takes, is the local person that's living in the area to go contact their local park department, because that works best, because then that shows that there's a local interest.
Bill continues by giving a few simple design tips to help you propose a design for that course with as few potential issues as possible.
You would definitely want to avoid any surrounding neighbors. Not that you can't have a tee close to them or something, but I would say just your best interest would be to not have a basket near their property line. You know, if somebody owns some property and it's a very private piece of land, that you're probably not going to have neighborhood issues, because you could pretty much design the course without having it being interrupted by the neighbors or outside things. Like normal park would have like a playground or a tennis court or a volleyball court. Sometimes you have to work around those other amenities within the park. And those would be other issues, you know, if things like that were on the land, you'd want to work around those things so that there's no interference with play.
We'll hear more from Bill about one of his most recent course designs and some of the problems it has faced from its neighbors later in this program. Up next, I'll take a look at what's on the PDGA schedule for this upcoming Mother's Day weekend. Located on the scenic shores of Clark's Hill Lake in Columbia County, Georgia, is the mecca of disc golf, the PDGA International Disc Golf Center, a must-see for anyone who's ever played the sport. With a full-service pro shop, state-of-the-art training center, and two championship-caliber courses, it will challenge and improve every aspect of your game. Also, visit the Ed Hedrick Memorial Museum, home of the Disc Golf Hall of Fame, and don't forget about the IDGC monthly tournaments the first Saturday of every month. Yes, it's all at the world's premier destination for the sport of disc golf, the PDGA International Disc Golf Center. Yes, this next weekend is Mother's Day weekend, and it does bring with it a slightly smaller tournament schedule for us disc golfers, especially on Sunday, to allow us a chance to spend it with our families if you so desire. But like me, if you still have to find a way to play no matter what holiday it is, here are some of your options for the weekend of May 10th and 11th. From the 20 sanctioned tournaments listed on the PDGA schedule, there are 4 two-day events being held, including the only A-tier of the weekend, it being the Carolina Clash in Charlotte, North Carolina. Also, the Tower Ridge Open in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, the Colorado Open in Glenwood Springs, and the first European Ladies Championships being held across the Big Pond in Potsdam, Germany. Those are the 2 days. Other events include Sunday in Indiana when the pros and advanced divisions take on the Moraine Challenge in Valparaiso. And the rest of these are Saturday, where you can choose from the first annual Crockett Charity Challenge in Tennessee, the Acorn Open in Minnesota, the Crescenta Valley Safari in Southern California, the Jelly Jam in Monterey, California, the Sasquatch Open in Kalamazoo, and the Mighty Mo in Kansas City, Missouri. Full details on these tournaments and more and the rest of the PDGA schedule for this week and beyond, it's on PDGA.com. Click on the PDGA Tour tab on the top and you're there.
Looking for official PDGA merchandise? Look no further than PDGAstore.com, your official online source for instructional books and DVDs, collectible discs, tournament supplies, stylish PDGA apparel, the newly released 2007 Pro Worlds DVD, and of course, the ever so valuable PDGA membership. Go online to PDGAstore.com, buy some cool new gear, and take the sport you love to even higher levels.
PDGA Radio being joined this week by Bill Ashton, course designer and disc golf activist in the Twin Cities, Minnesota area. Bill is founder of the SurePutt program, also Rock Solid Designs, designing more than 13 courses over his disc golf career. One of his latest projects is Alley Magnet Park in Apple Valley, Minnesota, a little 12-hole course there. In a park surrounded by a neighborhood, and that neighborhood, a few of them made a group and were trying to prevent the course from going in, and then were trying to get the course pulled, worried about the trees and discs in their yards, all that stuff you hear all the time about disc golf courses. We're going to talk with Bill here, and maybe he can give you a little few tips and hints if you're going through this problem at your local course. So thanks for joining us, Bill. Why don't you start off with a little intro about your problem there in Apple Valley?
We installed the course back in 2005, and there was really only one lady that lived on the park that was primarily negative about the course going in from the start. But we did have that lady at all our park board meetings, and she was well aware of the course, with the interest of the course going in from the start. And in 2005, when we put the course in, the course became pretty active pretty fast. And so then she quickly decided that there's just too many people coming to the park, and so she started to spearhead negative comments to the park department and city council members in regards to, you know, that the, you know, the disc golf is just not an appropriate fit to the park. The thing that I found quite odd to the whole situation was the fact that the course is in an 85-acre park, and we probably only take up a couple of the acres of the whole park. And we primarily designed the entire course with trying to stay away from the neighborhood yards and other amenities in the park. There's a volleyball court and a children's play area, but and I believe that we designed that pretty well around all of that stuff so that there's no interference with the other activities. The thing about Alley Magnet Park was the fact that before the disc golf got installed in the park was the fact that the park itself was a pretty much a hangout for juveniles, and there was a lot of vandalism, and it became kind of a hangout area for trouble. so this lady that is primarily the spearheader of the negativity regarding the disc golf course, she had instigated 1,000 signatures to have this gate installed where that, because of all the negative stuff happening at the park, like I said before the course went in, that they installed this gate so that nobody could go park their car in the parking lot, which I thought was kind of an odd thing. It's a public park. People should be using the park. But I guess there was a lot of issues with things going on at that time. And so this gate was installed. And in the first year of having the course at the park, we decided to still remain and have the gate closed. But because after the first year of play, it became so popular that the park department opened the gate up through the approval of the police department. And ever since we opened up the gate, the lady that had helped get that gate there primarily just kind of went on a rampage with, you know, I'm not going to let them get away with this, and we're just going to complain about the disc golf and try to get the disc golf course pulled from the area. Because when they shut that gate down in the park, really the activity within the park went down. So it was just like this 85-acre park became unused. And then with the disc golf going in, it brought people back to the park. So the park department was very happy with the issue of the park was once again being utilized by a good recreation. But the neighborhood, or this one person in the neighborhood, was really upset about all of that, with people coming in and driving through their neighborhood. And then, you know, and then she just blamed all the trouble on disc golf. So it took us a few years to correct all of that, and we've had to do a lot of compromising with the things that they wanted to see changed, and we have made some of those changes, and they have been for the positive. This year was our final step on making a compromise, so I believe we are set with the course the way it is now, and the park department has done a wonderful job of creating ways to compromise, because they just saw that disc golf was a great fit for the park, and it brought people back to the park. And they really did a great job with investing money not only in improving aspects of disc golf, like creating cement tee pads and stuff like that, but they also planted a lot of trees, a lot of evergreen trees that would border the backyards of the neighbors, so that they would also be like a blocker for a disc going into a yard. They've created this rubber fencing that is wrapped around the trunks of the trees, because the neighborhood was worried about disc hitting the trees and creating oak wilt. That's been another benefit, you know, as far as protecting the trees. And a lot of wood chips have been laid down in pathways and around the baskets and stuff to help with erosion. And, I mean, they've just done a wonderful job. And they spent, I believe the last meeting we had, I think the park department had spent an extra $28,000 on making course improvements and just normal park improvements to make sure that that it was not only just money going into disc golf, but it was making additional improvements to the park for other people and other users.
Again, we're talking with Bill Ashton here on PDGA Radio, a little course design 101 class for you. The course there in Apple Valley, it's relatively young, just a few years old, but yet it's gone through lots and lots of public hearings and meetings just to survive these few years.
Right. Our first year we put it in, there was in 2005. Then we played it that whole summer. That fall we had a review meeting, and the review meeting went real well. They wanted to say a year from now they wanted to do another review, and they did that in 2006, and they also did it in 2007. And then in each review meeting, the neighborhood came down with, you know, things that they wanted to see changed. And we did all those changes. So, And from what I just met with the park director on Friday last week, and we were meeting to discuss one of our final changes, and that was to move our hole number four, which is the hole that plays along the four sets of homes that is like on a sliding hill. And when I first installed the hole on that hill, I put the hole completely to the right of all the homes. So my intent was to completely be as far away from the homes as possible. But we are still moving that hole to even make it further away from the homes. So at the time when I was designing it, I thought I'd put it in the furthest spot that I could go, but now it's just like we're going to move it maybe another 70 feet to the right, so it's another 70 feet further away from their home. So it's just these little minor changes that we've had to do, but yet it is one of the final things. It's like the final one, because now we've done so many compromising changes with the neighborhood that most of the neighborhood that was complaining is now there's only the one, and now it's down to the one lady that's constantly complaining, and they're tired of dealing with her, really, because now as a group the neighborhood is satisfied with the changes that the park department has made. So really nobody else is really complaining in the neighborhood except for the one constant complaining neighbor.
And unfortunately, there always seems to be at least then one person out there who is not happy no matter what's going on, especially if it's in their own backyard, as they say. But it's good to hear that things are going well for the most part there in Apple Valley, and another city has a disc golf course for their kids and adults alike to play a little disc golf. Another important thing to notice here is that you've been more than willing to do the compromising with the neighbors and modify the course. You attend a lot of public meetings. You'll meet with the neighbors, try to ease their concerns, and that's really what it all comes down to, is if you want to keep your course, you've got to pick up the trash, you've got to keep it clean, you got to kind of police it on your own, and everyone working together and a little bit of compromise, and everything should work out well.
Exactly. Yep. There's definitely, you'll learn that there are issues of compromise. Yep. Nothing is set in stone, or, there's just room for changes and room for improvement. And because you want the neighborhood to enjoy it, I mean, as well. I mean, you want the neighborhood to come down and use it. You just don't want the negative conflict to continue on and on and on, because then it's just going to, it's just not going to be a good thing. I've learned through the years of dealing with design, of the 13 courses I've had to deal with, I've only had two installation situations where I've had to deal with neighborhood issues. So I think that's pretty good out of 13 that I've done. Highland Park, St. Paul, back in 1988 when I installed that course, I had similar issues, but they weren't as drastic as Apple Valley.
Yeah, unfortunately, there are a few courses out there that maybe they are nice courses, but maybe in a bad spot where a little suburban crawl caught up with them and not quite ready for the new neighbors. But if everyone works together, we can all keep our disc golf courses and have plenty of places to play. So thanks a lot, Bill, for all the hard work you do, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Sounds good, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Well, before I say goodbye for another week, I've got a few quick reminders to pass along for you. Firstly, applications for the PDGA Innovation Grant Program need to be submitted to the PDGA office no later than June 1st in order to be eligible for the first round of distributions. Also, you only have a few more days left to submit your candidacy for the three open board of director positions with the PDGA, as well as the numerous coordinator roles. The deadline for that is May 15th, as elections will run from June 1st through the end of July. Also, nominations again always being accepted for the MicroTel Disc Golfer of Distinction Award winners. More information on all of these programs and much, much more great disc golf related news and information can be found right there on PDGA.com. So until next week for PDGA Radio, I'm Steve Kaczynski.
The PDGA Radio News is hosted and produced by Steve Kaczynski, exclusively in contract with the Professional Disc Golf Association. Advertising inquiries along with comments about the show or programming ideas may be sent to the host via email at pdga.radio@yahoo.com or by contacting the PDGA office. All sound effects and production music used with permission from Magic's Music Maker and A1FreeSoundEffects.com. All content is otherwise exclusively owned and copyrighted by the Professional Disc Golf Association and the producer.
Goodbye.